So now we happen to be in the new, not so new, Radha Gopinath temple courtyard. As you were coming in, you probably all saw on the right-hand side the old Radha Gopinath Mandir. Radha Gopinath's temple, the original one, was opened in the early 1600s. It was a little later than Radha Madan Mohan and Radha Govinda. And when we were, some of us were visiting Vamsivat, and when we were there, we were meeting the pujari there, whose name is Govinda, and he was explaining that his family, for, he calculated, 22 generations had been serving steadily at Vamsivat. And Vamsivat was the place where Radha, where Gopinath was found by Madhu Pandit. So Madhu Pandit Samadhi is over here, just behind this area of the temple. And I asked him at the time, why is Gopinath being worshipped here, not at Vamsivat? And he said that Gopinath was worshipped at Vamsivat for quite some time. And when this temple was finally erected, then he moved to this new place. I don't know, I don't think, in fact I know, I do know, Lord Chaitanya didn't come here. His dates don't correlate with this, the finding of Radha Gopinath. So we heard that Madan Mohan, he represents the platform of knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. That means, who am I? Who is Krishna? And why should I have a relationship with him? What's so special about him? And what is it about me that I don't know already? When one begins to investigate that kind of transcendental knowledge, one will come to the next stage, and that is the stage which we worship when we see Radha Govinda. And that is the stage of practice. So I think I might not be alone in saying that I like the spontaneity of Vrindavan, but sometimes the routines feel a little rigid or a little difficult to maintain year in, year out. I turn a little bit away from that because it seems a bit mechanical, and sometimes I'll be doing it without any feeling whatsoever. What's the value of that? But Srila Prabhupada explained that just like a child has to practice to walk, even though they already can walk, but they won't manifest the ability that they have innate within them without some kind of practice, standing up, stepping a few steps forward, falling over, getting up again, working in this way towards achieving what is their potential. So the sadhana practices that Srila Rupa Goswami designed and our sampradaya also has refined, and Srila Prabhupada refined to such a degree that he said 16 rounds is enough. Now, some of us might feel 16 rounds is a lot, but if you were asked to chant 64 rounds, then you would see that 16 rounds is not as much. So Srila Prabhupada used to be very expert when he was speaking at, you could almost say, psychology. He would say, he would present something that is very easy. It's very easy to chant 16 rounds. And perhaps some of us, when we were young, we were thinking, it's not very easy, it's kind of hard. But then he would accelerate up. At least you don't have to sit in the outside with the flames all around you in the middle of the summer, as the yogis do up in the mountains. You don't have to immerse yourself up to your neck in freezing cold water in the middle of winter. You don't even have to chant 64 rounds, which will take you most of your day and maybe part of your night. You just have to do this one simple thing. Chant 16 rounds and he will be pleased and we will make progress. So this level of sadhana and practice, this is under the care of the emblem, the murti that represents who we should pray for strength, is Radha Govindade. And here we come to the third of those three principal deities, and this is Radha Gopinath. So what is that? That is Radha Gopinath, Krishna, who is the Lord and Master and life and the very breath of the gopis. Nath, we say Jagannath, and we mean like the Lord, like this. But Gopinath doesn't mean like this, it means like this. That they wholeheartedly love him. And they give every single thing, including their breath, to him. So this temple, as many of the older temples, it comes into a lineage of a family, a gotra. And I remember many, many years ago, perhaps it was 1994, I came here, and there was an elderly lady lived here for her whole life. And by that time, she was really old. She was wearing white, her hair was white, her teeth were falling out, she was kind of thin and bent, she looked kind of decrepit, but she was full of this incredible vigor. And her whole life was around this temple, because she was you could almost say she was the last in the line. Because she only had a daughter, so there was no son to continue on the lineage. And her daughter had married into Delhi, so her daughter didn't come very often. And when she did, she came with a whole slew of family members that were seemed quite materialistic. So this old lady, she'd sit up there, and this temple was never opulent. The other temples were far more opulent, because this is the most esoteric of those three platforms of understanding and bhakti. And so few people would come here. But this lady struck me and those who were with us one time when we came. She would sit just inside the area that's partitioned off in front of the deities, where only the pujari goes. She'd sit in there and she'd pay attention to the arti. And she would do something to contribute with her energy. And then they would give her the ghee lamp. And this I'll never forget to the day I die. She would stand up and she would take the ghee lamp and she would start over here and she'd start offering the ghee lamp as if the temple was full of people. It was amazing. She was so happy and she was so honored to offer it to everyone. And there was no one there. And I was thinking, this is a very high level of dedication, because when we're all in a group and we're all moving with the energy, group energy, we feel support on either side and we move forward. And all of you, or many of you, when you go home to a situation where you have to confront some degree of individual challenge. You don't have the support, the energy, the enthusiasm, the Govardhan Retreat Center, Varshana, Nandagram, Vrindavan. They all have to be captured by us to whatever degree we can, because we have to take them somehow or other. We have to beg to take them home with us in our heart. So when you go up to see Gopinath, you will see that there's two gopis, one on either side of Gopinath. And this is a Pratibhu deity. That means a deity that's been established to represent the original deity who is actually now worshipped in Jaipur. And so on one side, you see normally right in our temple, you have Radha is here, and Lalita is there, and Vishakha is there. So in this temple, Radha is there. And here on the other side is Anangamanjari. And Anangamanjari is Radharani's little sister. So this is a very mysterious tattva, a very mysterious principle that Radha is here and Anangamanjari is here. And you'll only see this in a handful of places in the whole world. You'll see it here, you'll see it in Radhakund, you'll see it in Kamyavan, you'll see it in Jaipur. And when you get to Jaipur, if you ask, who is this and who is that? They'll say, this is Radharani, of course, and this is Rukmini. You go, really? They don't know. They don't even know the secret of this particular place. So why Ananga Manjari? This is a very beautiful understanding that Baladeva Prabhu, he is the next from Krishna. When there's Krishna, then he expands on one side to Radha, on the other side to Balaram. So we see Krishna Balaram, and we see Radha Shamsunda. Krishna is there in both cases. These are different rasas, Sakyaras and Madhuryaras. But Balaram's mood is that he is eternally in every situation a servant of Krishna. So he expands. He can expand into as many forms as he wants. He expands into the four Vishnu forms that create the basis of the Vaikuntha planets. He expands into the next generation of Vishnu forms who create the material energy and the material world. And he creates, he expands into the form of Ananga Manjari, because in a male form, he cannot enter into the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It would be inappropriate. It wouldn't be, because he's older brother, so Radha would not wish to be there. He's like father. So what he does is he takes this other form. And in this beautiful form of Ananga Manjari, he's able to stand where Radha normally stands, because she wants her younger sister to get the pleasure that normally is available to only her. So she places Ananga Manjari here. And just to make it a teeny bit more mysterious, when Lord Chaitanya appears, Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appears as Nityananda, then the consort or the energy of Lord Nityananda is Ananga Manjari. Just as in the form of Balaram and then Ananga Manjari, Nityananda, his consort, is also represents the same principle of service, Nityananda accepting this opportunity to serve. So you might find this is like a bit confusing, but that's because we live here in this world where somebody is somebody and they're not anybody else. So when we hear about somebody can be this and can be that, we think, oh no, this is confusing. But of course, those who are on that transcendental platform, they think, oh, you poor people who don't understand your opulences as jivas to be able to serve in so many different mysterious ways. They feel sorry for us. We feel confused about them. So this is our situation in the platform of practicing devotional service. And one who comes to the platform of advanced, very advanced devotional service, where Krishna is everything. Like our Govinda at Vamsivat said, the concept of gopi is not just a beautiful girl who dresses very nicely and runs out at night, but it's this mood that every single thing I do in my day and night I do for Krishna. I sweep the floor so Krishna might be pleased to come to my house. I cook something because Krishna might come and eat it. I go and I buy something because Krishna will be happy if I do that. And this is the mindset that our Chaitanya Bhakti is all about developing. So this is where we fit in. We don't fit in up here in the higher levels. We hear about these mysteries and we honor them deeply. At the same time, we get on with our own practice, which is to understand who is Krishna, who am I, what is the importance to me of surrendering to him, and how should I do that, and how can I maintain that, and where can I get the strength to keep going through the early stages when I'm a bit unsteady, like a baby calf when it's first born. Do you know that when the baby calf is born, they tie up its legs? And one lady was looking at this, she saw this calf just born, They tied up its legs, and she was a Westerner. She was in a group, and she said, "This is terrible. Why did they do that?" Because she was a little suspicious that there was something a little crude in this culture that Americans, with their advanced culture, had already solved and worked out in a more sophisticated way. And the lady explained to her in a very organic way, "We tie up the legs of the calf so the calf can't run away, because the calf's legs are so tender that when it stands up and it tries to run away, the dogs will eat it and kill it. So to save it from death, we tie up the legs until it becomes a little stronger. And then when it becomes strong, it can run freely around." So now we're in that legs tied sadhana bhakti stage. And we must continue and continue until we become strong enough that our sadhana becomes our very life. We can't do without that. That's the purpose of why we're doing anything we're doing. And then we can grow forward from that. So we'll be sitting here for a little longer. Shall we do some kirtan? Does anyone have any questions on this mysterious subject? Prayojana. Prayojana means what's to be achieved. What's the goal? Why am I doing all of this? Why do I have to get up early in the morning? Why do I have to chant japa? Why do I have to do it? What's the purpose? And the answer is, the purpose is to develop love for Krishna so that you love him. And then everything becomes a joy and everything becomes easy to do. You kind of can't stop doing it. And one of our guru lines, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes the progress in bhakti, that when you begin, then your bhakti is very tender. He describes it like, it's like as if the sun has just risen on the horizon and everything is still pretty dark. You know, all the colors don't show brilliance. And then slowly the sun rises and our bhakti develops. And at midday, you can see everything. It's bright, it's clear, and so on. So this is the platform, the stage of nista, when our bhakti is very strong, automatically. We don't have to try anymore. It's grown up. And from there, he describes that one goes towards prema bhakti, or love of Krishna. And he explains that when you get to these higher advanced levels, he says, and this I remember this, he said, it's as hard to stop thinking about Krishna as it is right now to remember to think about him. It's a complete reversal. You have trouble remembering what you're supposed to be doing every day, but you have no trouble remembering Krishna and thinking about him. And when will I get to see him? I want to see him. It will become that natural when we reach that stage. So our journey, maybe we say it's a bit long, but Srila Prabhupada, again, like he would say, what is 16 rounds? You should be chanting 64. You should be sitting down like a yogi. These are difficult things. 16 rounds is easy. So similarly, he would say, why do you think it is difficult? It may take you a few lifetimes. What is difficult in that? It could take you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of births before you even got the idea that Krishna is there, that Krishna is real. Or the process, how do I attain him? What to speak of, this fully bloomed love for him. So he would encourage us, keep going. It may take some time. It may take some time. You may have your journey in and out of the pathway forward. But don't forget, what is the goal? The goal is to re-establish what is already ours, to gain what we deserve as an inheritance. It's ours. If somebody told you that your father, that you didn't know about, his auntie, his uncle, somebody or other, was a billionaire and he left billions of dollars for you, and you just have to go to this place, you would think it's a scam, right? Instantly, you know, oh, something's funny here. just sign here and put in your details and it will all be sent to you. You'd be very suspicious. But if you believed it and it was true, that there was a huge inheritance awaiting for you, then we would have such an avid feeling. How can I get it? It's mine. So this is what we're trying to awaken in our understanding of what Srila Prabhupada wants to give us. And as we come to these temples, we can make our intention and our prayer that I'm not very advanced yet. My mind wanders like it does in the sunrise. Hardly can think about Krishna. But I would like to become further and further advanced so that I can regain what is actually already mine. So I think we can go in now and see Radha Gopina. So you can pray to them and think of the elderly lady offering arti to the whole.
10 more minutes.
10 more minutes. Okay.
Bhoga offering still.
Okay, no problem. Interesting enough, last year, this year actually, we went to Melbourne. I live in Perth, which is isolated. We went to Melbourne and somebody came and said, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. And they brought forward a young man, nice looking, average looking, nice Indian man. And they said, this man is the grandson of that lady. It was amazing. And I said to him, yes, the lineage did continue. And he explained that his mother and father, mother being the daughter of that previous Goswami lady, they now come here and they organize something to do with the puja, so they're keeping things going. But he had sort of like found it interesting to visit to the west, so he'd wandered a little away from the line. But he was so happy to see our temple and our community, and he was saying how wonderful it was to see that. Madan Mohan, when we go to Madan Mohan, or when we think of Madan Mohan, because we've already gone there, you can pray that, please, I would like to understand. What is my relationship with Krishna? Who am I really? What's my real identity? Recently I met a doctor, and he came to me, and he meant something completely different, but he happened to say to me, I want to know who I am beyond being a doctor. And I said to him, that's a wonderful question, but he didn't really understand what he was asking in the deepest sense. But that's what we really want to ask. I want to know who I am beyond who I think I am. This is what we can request from Madan Mohan. And I want to know Krishna so that he becomes so attractive to me that I can't think of anything else. That's the first level. Then Radha Govinda, if we get there, we can pray to him, please help me to have the strength to go on with my practices. Sometimes it's difficult for me to remember what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. So please give me some strength in that regard. And here we pray to Radha Govinda, please allow me to stay on this path so that I can receive the fruit of all of this effort and endeavor, which is an actual experience of the love of Krishna. Not just an understanding of theory, but an actual experience of what it's like to love Krishna. So those are the three levels of development.
Sorry, I didn't catch what separates these three deities from the rest of the seven principal deities.
These three deities are the prime deities. Like if you have a color system, you have red, blue and yellow, they're primary colors. These are the primary deities of Vrindavan. Then Radha Damodar, he is exceptional in a different way, but the deity is not coming from Vrajana, from Krishna's time. It's not an ancient deity. That deity is established by Srila Rupa Goswami. He carved the deity for Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami becomes almost the next generation. He was many years the younger of Rupa and Sanatan. So when Rupa and Sanatan, they left this world, Jiva Goswami became the principal acharya of the whole Gaudiya, Chaitanya Gaudiya line. And then Shamasunda, Gokulananda, and who's the other, Radharaman, they're connected with particular personalities. Radharaman with Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that's his personal deity, Radharaman. Radha Shamasunda, there's a small Radha Shamasunda, not the big ones, which was the deity of Shamananda Pandit. And the big ones are the deities of Srila Baladeva Vijabhushan. And then Gokulanand, the deities there are from another generation, the next generation, Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So these are, and Lokanath Goswami are all worshipped there. So these are the main Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnava temples from the beginning of what was now Vrindavan. They were all at the slightly different times. They were established, I think Radharaman may be the oldest, youngest of them all. But that's how these ones became the prize ones. But these three are the main ones. Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions? Thank you for good questions. It's always interesting to get a good question here and there. Thank you. All right. So I think we're almost there. Do we want to have another question?
Are there any other prominent Gaudiya temples in Vrindavan? Or
are
these the seven?
In Vrindavan. Prajmohan is the deity of Narottam Das, but it's not a principal temple as such. The deity was established in, what's that place?
Where?
Kettering. In Ketterigram in Bangladesh, but the deity then came here after a long time. So the temple itself, the deity is an important deity, but the temple doesn't get that same kind of recognition for roots in the Vrindavan culture. I can't think of any. I'll have to, of course, Banki Bihari, but that's a different line. So there's Banki Bihari, and then there's other temples, I'm sure, the Nimbaki Sampradaya. Do you know any others?
So when Vrajanath installed these three main deities, he was thinking about Sambandha Vidya Priyojana, or just happened?
That's an interesting question. Unfortunately, I can't answer it, but I do know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu linked these three stages in his teachings with these three deities. Whether or not they were linked from the very beginning, I don't know that answer. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to, the tools were here, the deities were here, the places were here, and he came and he said, this is this, that's that, that's that. And since he's Radha and Krishna themselves, it stays like that. Thank you. Let's go. See Radha Gopinath.
Radha Gopinath.
Yeah.